Blog Talk Radio.
FBI raided properties related to Keith Raniere in March of 2018. The world became familiar with Nexium.
Brainwashed sex slaves. That's what investigators are calling the victims of a man they call a cult leader.
On its surface, it was a self-help, multi-level marketing business with shades of Scientology.
In promotional videos and materials, it claims more than 16,000 people worldwide have taken Nexium courses.
However, prosecutors have claimed it is a sex cult that has branded women, is involved in sex trafficking, and has done unlicensed human experimentation.
Well, hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcasts. I'm here again with Roberta Glass, and it is still V-Week, Vanguard Week, day four. How are you doing, Roberta?
Doing well.
Good. We skipped a couple of days of Vanguard Week. Hopefully nobody minds. We still have more days to go.
Run. We're going to have to look at our calories and run penance for our missing 2 days of V-Week.
Yes, we must starve and, yes, run. Can you imagine? How can you run when 500 calories a day? I can barely even move.
I know. I saw Frank Parlato captioned one of his pictures of Claire Brofman running some kind of race. She came in first among women eating under 500 calories a day.
Yeah, I saw that. TheFrankReport.com is an excellent website, excellent source of information. And he's funny. He's very funny. And he writes very well. He's a very good writer. So
and he writes all the time. Very prolific.
Yes. Yes. Every day. He's got something new on there. Every day.
We could learn something from him.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll make up for that with all the information that we'll provide today. So
really interesting week, you know, or even a couple of days since we last talked. Claire Brofman had her bail hearing. It was like a surprise bail hearing, so I did not get to go to it because it was scheduled at the last minute. And she asked for, said her conditions were just too stifling for her. She needed to exercise, and they wanted to have her, be able to go to all of the boroughs of New York, Queens, Brooklyn. She's in Brooklyn now, Queens, Manhattan, and Brooklyn. Somehow she didn't want to go to Staten Island. I don't think that was on there. But those, the judge shot her down. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I liked it on what they said in the transcript that when she visited her lawyer, her lawyer said, well, it would be nice if she could go to a restaurant. And then the judge said, you can order in some nice food, if you want. And then her lawyer said, well, she's I forget exactly how she put it, but she's a pickier eater. Oh, she eats more carefully than I do. And the judge said, well, then order carefully. He's like losing patience with them big time, I think. I have to read it. It's funny. The judge is not taking any pushiness from from Claire Brofman and her lawyer. Her lawyer's going to try again and again. Like, she doesn't give up. She just keeps going at it. Which is her job, I guess. That's what you expect.
Seems very fair to me. And it's hard as someone who sees them as so evil and trying to work outside the law and try to game the system to see him really take their points into consideration as a watcher in a courtroom. And you're kind of on the edge of your seat wondering if he's going to buy this stuff. And he's made, really pretty fair rulings so far. I mean, he gave Allison Mack the ability to go to church, the ability to, do all that. But Claire Brofman's a different animal, because she's really the manipulator in the group of things. She is the one with the money, the one who can buy testimony. And Frank Parlato, I had a really good article about how there's already a way that she can communicate with witnesses already.
Yes, with her sister, who's in France, which is a country that doesn't extradite here. So she's pretty much home free. She stays there, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing with Eichmann.
Einhorn.
And the other guy, what's that other guy's name? That they wanted him for rape for years and years, that famous director, movie director.
Oh, Rosemary's Baby. Help me.
Yeah, names on the tip of my tongue. But you know what I
mean. I see
he lived in France.
Right.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that came up about Einhorn on William Ramsey's podcast was that the Bronfmans had given money to help Einhorn flee. And I had also read that he stayed at their place in France. This is a guy who murdered his girlfriend and put her in a trunk in the closet for years. And, you know, he was the originator of Earth Day.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Like a love of a sociopath, it seems, in running through their DNA.
Yeah. Well, you wonder how many more criminals, you know, are involved in all of this.
Right. And you wonder what goes on in that family that they have so little, they think that that's being empathetic, helping someone who murdered their girlfriend brutally, or what, it just seems like, at least when the vibe I get, and I mean, it's just an impression for whatever it's worth, is really of a person totally lacking compassion in Claire Bronfman. She's really hard and cold and seems to think and doesn't have any sense of you know, always coming first. You know, she just so much entitlement.
Yes. Yes.
What happened in that family? That's what I mean, that would be the question. How can they have support two people that are so sociopath? What happened?
I don't know.
What happened
there? It seems
there?
To be only them two, though. It's only those two, right? Or is it the rest? Because they've got their siblings, their half-siblings that are much older, but they don't seem to have all this criminal connections, right?
I don't know. That would be something for me to research. I don't know. I mean, before this, I really knew just from working at Jersey Films, because that was owned by Universal, and Edgar Bronfman owned it at the time, you know, Universal at the time. And I knew that his son was like running the company, but really wanted to be a music composer. So he composed, I think, some of the, I think it was like that movie Daylight or Daybreak or something, you know, some music soundtrack and stuff. So I don't know. Maybe that makes him the more normal one. We thought that was terribly eccentric at the time. But I don't know a lot about the family.
No. It seems like they have a lot to uncover. But, I wanted to also go back just a minute because this is Vanguard week, so wanted to talk about Vanguard a little more. And we mentioned last time about his alleged 230 IQ that he claimed to have. And then I realized on Frank Report, actually, his ex-girlfriend, or one of the first girls that he statutorily raped, Gina Hutchinson, she was the one that actually took the IQ tests. They said she was the genius. So it was in 1988, when she was 23 years old, Gina and another woman assisted Keith Raniere complete his famous mega Socrates IQ test, which he took home and returned for the grading 1 month later. Yeah, so he later claimed the results of his IQ test showed he had scored one of the highest IQ scores ever, but this claim was rejected by the American editors of the Guinness Book of Records. And also Gina's sister was there, and she witnessed it, and she said she was there. She said, yeah, Gina took the test, not him. So he never even took an IQ test. He's walking around with a score that two women gave him.
Women did. Because all his ideas are, you know, all his whole thing is based on sucking the energy, the creativity, the ideas from women. You know, exploiting every part of them, their sexuality, every part of them to the fullest, you know, for his greater good and claiming it for himself. All their creativity and all their smarts for himself. So that is just so perfect and fits so well.
And he's also a predator. Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's also a child predator. It's not just women. It's like girls.
And if you read the... Oh, I'm sorry. And if you read the text messages, it's very much about their energy. Getting, you know, I need to have my energy supported. I need to... So it's like so vampirish. Like, and I think that must be some of the appeal of children, too, is like just, you know... seeping their energy, their youthful energy from them. That's, do you understand what I mean? Like when he wanted to get more women to sleep with, he was saying, mm-hmm. I need my energy, or I don't want to burn out my energy. It's also because, you know, as the Frank report says, he's, you know, impotent too now. He's having problems in those areas. So he's not quite the vanguard that he used to be in that area.
Well, he is 58 years old, so.
Head for that approach that you just want to suck the energy from women and young people and prey on them. Yeah.
Okay, I have a clip about that. Do you mind if I play it? About I have actual audio from the 12-year-old girl that he raped. Hold on. Here we go.
Changing, but top secret. And the first step is making a vow of obedience to her as me being a slave and her being my master.
There is a she and four other women submitted one by one to being branded by this woman, she says, Dr. Danielle Roberts.
Rainier has also been accused of sexual relationships with underage girls.
I met Keith Rainieri shortly after moving to Clifton Park around 1990 when I was about 12 years old. During that time, I got to know Keith. He offered to tutor me in algebra and Latin. Tutoring took place mostly at his business office in Rome Plaza. Shortly after the tutoring started, a sexual relationship began between Keith and myself at the age of 12. That relationship continued from the age of 12 until 13 when I ran away.
So there, that's the 12-year-old girl, and he actually got away with that. He didn't serve any time for that because the girl wouldn't wear a wire. She was afraid of him, or she didn't think he'd fall for it. So because she wouldn't wear a wire and confront him to get him to admit it on tape, the police dropped the investigation. And I guess she ran away because she was, you know, still just a kid, and she was very upset and ended up getting into drugs, and I think she ended up getting cancer, too. She got... Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Very tragic story. No, that was the girl, 12-year-old girl. No, I'm sorry. That wasn't Gina. I was talking about Gina earlier. I have a clip on her as well. That was the... I gotta look up her name again.
Gina Hutchinson walked his dog and was having an affair with him right around the consumer byline time. And she ended up, on his encouragement, dropping out of high school at 15 and ended up committing suicide, a questionable suicide that many people believe is a murder. So.
Yes, I have a clip on her,
it's very
too.
Disturbing.
Yeah, I'll play that one.
Your virginity to Keith Rainieri at age 15 or 16, her older sister says.
Sexual wars were all about keeping women bound and, you know, chained to the patriarchal system. Yeah, those kinds of beliefs with regard to everything, including the school system. He didn't want Gina to go to school. He wanted Gina to leave school and become his consort. And she did, actually. He convinced her that he would be her mentor.
Hutchinson killed herself outside a Buddhist monastery at age 33, shortly after.
So that was the second girl. So there was a 12-year-old girl. I think she came after. That was in 1990. And in the mid-80s was Gina Hutchinson, who was 15, when he used to climb in her window. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if this is getting too psychologically deep, but I always think about that he lost his mother at an early age. And if you have, that can give you a really, like, a fear of abandonment. And if you have an anger towards women, and a way to make women stay is to starve them, brand them, own them, mind control them, you know.
Yeah.
They can't leave that way, you know. Sad.
Right.
I don't know. You wonder if he was a sociopath, if he was born that way, or if he was made, you know.
Or both. Yeah, because, you know, really, you know, it's not. I don't think everybody whose mother has died turns into a Keith Raniere, you know.
No, but it just seems like such a fixation, the women thing with him, you know, that this was really a cult to make him king of all women, you know.
Yeah, did he have any male friends, any men friends at all?
Well, there's the Society of Protectors, which is male part of NXIVM, but...
So they weren't friends with him or anything, they were just,
I actually haven't found one person who said they were Keith Raniere's friend. Have you?
No, that's why I asked. I don't think so. Oh, it's all women.
No, that's an
him.
Interesting. I don't think he has any friends. He just has devotees.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. And not even, all slaves, basically. Not even. And he enjoyed turning women into criminals. He had a way of manipulating them. Like the women that around him in 1990, he convinced the women to groom the 12-year-old girl to walk the dog and come over and Keith will tutor you. So he enjoyed manipulating women to commit crimes on other women and girls. Very much a...
Right. And there was this thing in there called The Fall, which was a NXIVM lesson that doing good things made you feel bad, but doing bad things made you feel really good. And that they noticed that the more women were in NXIVM, the more sociopathic they became. So that was like his big turn on, is to get really wholesome women that were, you know, what society would deem good and turn them bad. And if they were straight, like Allison Mack, he would have them marry a woman. You know what I mean? Anything that was your basic morals or basic self, changing that.
Right.
That was the next.
Right. Right.
So when people
and
see Stormy Daniels, I see tweets all the time from people like, oh, look, Stormy Daniels was a NXIVM slave. Look at her tattoo. No, Stormy Daniels would be no interest to Keith Raniere. She's already too worldly, too strong, not pure enough, not someone he could change and manipulate. She's not she would not be in NXIVM. That would not be... That's not the type that was in this cult. Wasn't looking for porn stars.
Right. But now you were mentioning earlier about the human trafficking, and I just thought of something. You said we don't know much about that, and there is one clip I have of something that we don't hear much about, and that is about the girls. That was something that was written about in Crazy Days and Nights in the past few years. I don't know exactly when, but it was recent, kind of recently, past few years, about him bringing in girls from Libya. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
About that one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Chris Plata wrote an article debunking that. Saying
oh, really?
That
okay.
I'd be interested. Do you want to hear? I'd like to hear the clip anyway. But
okay.
Do you want to hear the clip? You have the clip?
Yeah, yeah. I'll play the clip. Here it goes.
Enough to protect them, as even more information is beginning to emerge. The blog Crazy Days and Nights, which has reported on things such as Weinstein years before the mainstream, recently accused Nexium of bringing attractive teenage girls in from Libya through Sarah Bronson. When they needed to be disposed of, for one reason or another, they were poisoned by Gina Hutchinson, the girl Rainier began having sex with when she was 15 years old. And you guessed it, she didn't commit suicide, she was killed. And a similar fate was bestowed on Nexium member Pamela Caffrey. If you think that these last claims are just too outlandish, here is Rainier on hidden video claiming he has had people killed.
I've been shot at because of my beliefs. I've had to make choices. Should I have bodyguards? Should I have them armed or not? I've had people killed because of my beliefs and because of their beliefs and because of things that I've said.
Yeah. So.
That clip is so great, though, of him. I've had people killed for my beliefs. His creepy mansplaining voice. Ugh.
Yeah. But now what are you saying now? You're saying that Libyan story is not true now?
That is what Frank Perlotto wrote. That is untrue. I can give you the link and post it. I mean, I can't remember all the details that make it not true,
okay.
But it has to do with the Bronfman families and the dates that they were there and how that would have worked. He is pointing to Mexico, that young girls were brought in for a summer illegally for next time and left. And there was also a letter that was written into the Frank Report about the nannies he was getting from Mexico to work at the Children Cultural Gardens. And saying that those... Are we running out of time? Or?
We have about 7 minutes. Yeah, seven minutes.
So saying that those... some of those girls left. They were promised a lot, like the world, as nannies to work at the Rainbow Cultural Gardens. And they left very disturbed. And the mother who wrote in said that the Rainbow Cultural Gardens was teaching, was sexualizing children, and it was just like a school for grooming, basically, is what she said. So the Rainbow Cultural Gardens is another unexplored part. There's all these different, was it a preschool, right?
Right, children. I think it was,
Okay, and they were all over the world, tons of them in Mexico, Canada, New York, and
Miami. Yeah,
I don't think any of them are still going. I'm not sure. I know a few of them shut down. I'm not sure which is still going and which closed down. Any of them are still going.
No,
but
when I read,
what did you read?
None of them were approved by the Board of Education in the countries that they were in, so they were shut down.
Right.
Yeah, many said that they're teaching, they're dangerous. Yeah, they were doing.
Yeah, they teach every day. The kid has another teacher. It's like one-on-one teaching with a different. Teacher
language
speaking a different them, but they don't learn anything. In fact, they can barely speak English nor their native tongue, because it's so their brain, their young brain is so confused. So his
idea was
that they'd learn, you know, multiple languages, but that
he knows nothing about it. This is Keith Rainier starting a school, a very expensive school, touting it as, you know, top of the line, you know, and he doesn't know anything. He has no background in education at all. And he starts this educational program for children, teaching them 8 different languages and having a different teacher every day, like you said, with different language, totally screwing them up. So they can't speak anything now, basically. I mean, it's a nightmare. And this guy gets away with it. I'm like, what the, you know? It never ends. Like, the damage this man has caused so many people.
Right.
And children.
But look how close it is to Scientology, you know? It's not like he...
Mm-hmm.
Those Scientology schools where you have to look up every word in the dictionary, all your problems are, you know, reduced down to the fact that you don't understand the meaning of the word, so you end up, like, just using a dictionary constantly and looking up the meaning of the word of and the, you know, and whatever.
Wait, no, that's at least, that sounds at least helpful, you know what I mean? But what he was teaching these kids, I think more people should use the dictionary. I should use it more, I know that. But I mean, you know, not starting an educational program for young minds when you don't know have any, and it was and they were, none of them were approved by the Board of Education, and they were reported and they were shut down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks in large part to the Albany Times. I got to tell you, the Albany Times really did a great job in covering this cult and getting them exposed. Really.
Yeah, and isn't the writers in prison now?
I think.
Or, I know Master for Child Support, I think. They went after him. And the big question is whether he was set up, whether that was put on his computer or whether it was always there. And he just had that weakness. But he was, you know, he was one of the reporters that they really went.
He was framed.
One of the,
you know that.
What?
I would believe he was framed.
You don't believe he was framed?
I would believe it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe it. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't rule anything out. You don't know. But he took a deal pretty quietly and is doing his time. So it's a sad,
poor man.
Yeah. Or if he's guilty, he's doing his time. You know, I don't know. I don't have enough information to make a, you know, make.
Well,
NXIVM.
Well, NXIVM is being charged with, besides human trafficking, they're also being charged with all kinds of computer crimes. So, you know, anyone who went against them, they really went after those reporters, and that probably that particular reporter.
Right.
I know they went after some really hard in the lawsuits. So they had the means and the desire to do it. So I 100% agree, believe it. I would believe it. I mean, I don't know what happened, but, yeah, I would totally believe it. So, yes, we've got about 2 minutes left. I got one more clip with Allison Mack. You want to hear Allison Mack clip?
Yes, Pimp Mack. Hit me with
it. Allison Mack, seen here, was also indicted on sex trafficking.
She's the actress best known for playing a young Superman's best friend on Smallville.
I can explain later. I did what I had to do.
But
isn't that a great quote? I'll explain later. I did what I had to do. That's Allison Mack. So, yeah, so
Gray.
I hope Gray, all of the gray skin, yeah.
She's not taking a plea deal. It looks like she's not taking a plea deal. Maybe I'm speaking too soon, but it looks like, I don't know. I always wondered why Keith Raniere looked so different the second hearing I was at. And I think it's because they've all told themselves that they're going to get their defense in line, they're going to get their stories straight, and that they're going to beat this. And I think Allison Mack is probably going along with that. Doesn't look like she's going to take a plea deal.
Well, you know, some people are arguing that the fact that she got her, her house arrest, you know, being released from that, and now she can work and go to church and whatever, some are saying that that's evidence possibly of a plea deal. No?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm speaking too soon. I hope so.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Really should take a plea deal. That is someone who is in desperate need of a plea deal because she's looking at 30 years or more for her crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All because of Keith Raniere. Yeah.
Yeah, so sad.
So, that's it. This is the end of V-Day 4. I hope everybody followed along, all right? We gave out some good information. But, yeah, any last words before we sign out?
No, it's always a pleasure. I love talking about this stuff with you. Thanks for for thinking of V-Week, Liz. Idea.
My pleasure.
2:30 idea.
Thank you. All right, so until next time, have a good night. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.